Sad one. A memorial service for longtime Juneau resident Nancy Anderson is tomorrow, Saturday, at the 4 p.m. at the Dipak Hatchery. Anderson was 49 when she passed away last summer from an autoimmune disorder that is very similar to MS. She had been bedridden for nearly 20 years. Despite that disease, she never lost her sense of humor. And in 2006, she authored an essay on the therapeutic effects of laughter for KTOO Radio's This I Believe series. In honor of Nancy Anderson, we're going to hear that essay again, produced by Rosemarie Alexander.
Laughter is the best medicine. Humor is just another defense against the universe. It's no surprise these old adages are a good prescription for what ails many people. Doctors and healthcare workers have found that laughter helps reduce stress, boost the immune system, and even ease pain. It stimulates the brain, heart activity, and circulation. Juneau resident Nancy Anderson knows laughter cannot heal her, but she uses it daily to help her deal with multiple sclerosis, which has left her bedridden for the last 13 years. In 1989, when Anderson was 25, she was diagnosed with a very progressive form of MS. She'd been married only a year. By 1990, she was confined to a wheelchair. Anderson met husband Steve in Elfin Cove, where she was doing whale research. Her disease cut short a career in wildlife biology. Now she can do nothing for herself. For years, she has relied on in-home nursing care, as well as other volunteers who come to read to her, take her on outings, and help her write about some of those funny things that have happened since MS took over her body. That's how Anderson was able to write her essay for This I Believe.
One left.
Your left?
Left.
Anderson is now 42. She has lost her ability to write and speak. When she has a voice, it's often one letter at a time.
L-A.
A.
L-E.
Debbie McBride is one of a cadre of family and friends who say Anderson's sense of humor has helped them deal with her disease. For about a year, McBride has been helping Anderson write short, humorous essays about her experiences with MS. Anderson's husband helps fill in the blanks.
It's a pretty laborious process. Nancy works awfully hard to get the communication across, and we work hard at listening, but it's certainly well worth it.
P. Lip.
F.
Nancy can say one or two trigger words, and that'll help me recall, and I can be more descriptive of what she wants to say, and we get to go down memory lane and have those laughs all over again.
Steve Anderson says his wife is still the same personality she was before MS. Laughter has helped them both cope with the problems the disease has wrought on their lives. Even the Andersons' phone number spells GIMP, and they keep a photo album of all of her crashes, like the day he was flying a kite at Juneau's Twin Lakes, and Nancy, in her wheelchair, insisted on trying it.
I handed over the kite handles, and she held on real tight. It was a 180-pound test line. Well, it jerked her straight out of the chair. She began plowing a furrow through the lawn and headed for the lake.
It's moments like those that Nancy Anderson recalls with as much laughter as her weak voice can muster.
Here.
Here now is Debbie McBride reading Anderson's essay on humor, punctuated with her laughter.
I believe humor has a lot of value in dealing with adversity. In a letter from my brother, he said, "You have taught a lot of people about the value of humor and attitude in life, me among them. 17 years of battling with MS has provided many opportunities to test and heighten this belief. I was diagnosed with MS in 1989, just days after my first wedding anniversary. Steve could have left me then, but he didn't. Riding down on the elevator from the doctor's office, he said, 'Hey, look, now we can park in all the blue spaces.' My husband has always helped me laugh at my disease. Steve operated a salmon hatchery in Cape, Alaska. One day when he was working, I was at home, and it was a sunny day. I never wanted to be indoors when the sun was shining. Since my arms still worked in those days, I decided I would go outside and get down those stairs. Hand over hand, I managed to get outside. The next task was getting down the stairs. Since I could only pull myself, the only option was to start down the stairs head first. I should mention here that the stairs were constructed of rough-cut lumber that we'd cut by hand ourselves on a chainsaw mill, no smooth surfaces. Undeterred by the steep precipice before me, I decided that I could do a controlled, head-first descent. I'd only made it about 3 steps when my catheter caught on something. Eventually, my arms began to give way, but fortunately, forward momentum was slowed by the snagging of my sweatpants as they caught on a rough splinter. As my body continued to move downward and my pants reached my ankles, my forward launch was halted entirely. I couldn't proceed down and couldn't go back up. But I was outside, the sun was shining, and there were berries on the hillside next to me. I decided that this was a better place to hang out than indoors on a nice day. I enjoyed the spot for about 45 minutes. At that same time, Steve, who had been giving a tour and having a discussion with a Nobel Prize-winning scholar, suggested to the gentleman that he come upstairs with him to meet his wife. As the two of them rounded the corner of the building, and I was still squirming about and trying to find a more comfortable position, I heard Steve say to the scholar, "Oh, and here she is now, and as you can see, she's a natural-born blonde." This is an example of how we've coped with 17 years of rapidly progressing MS. With humor, you can get through almost anything.
Nancy Anderson's essay for This I Believe. Humor has been her defense. I'm Rosemarie Alexander.
The memorial service for Nancy Anderson will be at Dipak Hatchery at 4 p.m. on Saturday tomorrow. Sad passing of a longtime Junoite.
Happiness is the theme for the first TED viewing party at the Downtown Library. On Thursday, May 23rd at 6, we'll eat pizza and learn what it means to be happy and what the latest science says about why happy people are happy. Video presenters are Malcolm Gladwell, known for his books The Tipping Point and Blink, psychologist Dan Gilbert, author of Stumbling on Happiness, and musician-conductor Benjamin Zander. That's TED, Thursday, May 23rd at 6 at the Downtown Library, sponsored by the Friends of the Juneau Public Library.
It's about 7 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. Pat Moore, your host today for Juneau Afternoon. My first two guests are Sue Baleta. I did it first time. And Lucy Merrill. And these two ladies are part of the Celebration Ringers of Resurrection Lutheran Church. And this is a bell choir that's going to give a concert unlike Christmas time.
Right.
This one is going to be Sunday. So tell us a little bit about what you're going to do and why you're doing it.
Well, I'll defer to Lucy to get us started. She's
okay.
Our director.
Okay. We're going to present a concert, partly because we just love to play and we like showing off and we like people to see what we're doing. But it's also a fundraiser for a new piano for the church and for the Lemon Creek Chaplaincy Program. So there's no admission fee, but just dig in your pockets and give us some money.
And Lucy, why would we pick the Lemon Creek Chaplaincy Program as a part of our fundraiser?
That's one of the Bell Choir's ministries. We go out there the Sunday before Christmas every year and present kind of a mini concert for them as part of their Christmas service.
Well, that's a wonderful service to do. But you also do other concerts around Christmas time.
Play on Christmas Eve and at church. So if you want to hear us, you got to come to church.
You got
to
come
either
to church.
Either that or get, you know,
or
get
come
in the jail.
Or come to the jail. Well, is that possibility as well? I'm not sure that that is precisely the reason you should tell the officer you just did what you did. But
but it is one of the fun reasons for doing it. Many people don't have the opportunity to see bell choirs in action unless you go to church or are in prison. And so this is an opportunity to see a bell choir performing on a time other than Christmas or in worship.
Now, Sue, you are also known as, what was it, C7A7 and C6
no,
and
no,
A6.
No, I'm sorry, I'm A, G, G and A.
Oh, G and A, okay.
Those are my bells.
So this is the way that that Lucy would normally address you, right?
Well, I'm position 10. But that C7, A7, I had to think if that was my prison number or what there for a minute. So, yeah, I was
okay.
Confused.
So let's get this position thing down. How does a bell choir work?
Well, there's lots of different ways to assign the bells, but for most people, they have two bells like next to each other on the scale, like C and D or E and F. If you have the smaller bells up on the top, you have octaves, so you met instead of playing one bell in each hand, you have two bells at each hand. The lower bells, especially the very low ones that don't play as much, we have one very wonderful woman playing these bass bells that is pretty amazing because a lot of men can't ring these with one hand, and she's got one in each. And we call them, those are the big buckets.
Ah, okay.
She rings half a dozen bells
anyway.
Yeah,
she's got, yeah,
so.
6 or 8, yeah.
What does a big bucket weigh, for instance?
I think they're like in the 10-pound range.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
This is not for the faint of wrist.
No, we call it pumping bronze.
Wonderful. So the bells are made out of bronze?
Bronze, uh-huh.
Okay, and each bell then is tuned to a particular note. So rather than the kind of thing where one instrument, like a violin, plays a whole bunch of stuff, each person in here has to create the note that is in that part of the song.
Right. People ask what our music looks like, and it looks just like piano music. You know, everybody has the same edition, and they just know what are their notes, and when watch as they go by and play when they're supposed to.
It's probably one of the most uniquely cooperative musical experiences I've ever had. I've played in bands and orchestras, and there's such a difference between playing a line, a melodic line, and having to watch that line for your note and be able to match the same tempo, to match the same level of loudness or softness. It is creating harmony not only in the music but in the ringers themselves. It's a uniquely cooperative musical event.
The other thing we were talking about before we started with the mics open was you were saying there are different ways to ring the bells.
Yes,
it's not just pick it up and clang it.
Right. Generally, we just ring, but there's lots of other, especially stopped sounds. Some of them you can pluck the bell with the bells on the padded table that we have them on, and flick it with your wrist, or we can play them with a mallet like you would like a xylophone. We martellate, which is you hit the bell on the padded table for a stop sound. They all sound a little bit different, so they're kind of unique to what sound you want for that piece. The newest bell technique that we're using in this concert is called the singing bell, and that is, you know, when you have a crystal bell and you can wet your finger and go around.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you start the bell ring, and then we have just a wooden dowel that goes around, and you get this sustained kind of ethereal humming sound coming out of the bell. So we're using that in the concert.
So it creates musical textures. It's not everybody doing those techniques all at the same time, usually.
Right.
So it just adds levels of percussiveness and elongated notes and things to weave a different texture within the whole musical piece.
So,
and we also use chimes in our music. So we have choir chimes, so some of the people are ringing bells, some are ringing chimes, and that has a totally different
sound.
A chime's
a tube, like a metal tube. Yeah, okay. Okay, now, who makes the decisions? Is that part of your job?
Some of the stuff is indicated on the music, but we can do that. Sometimes I'll change what they want because of the location, the sound in the room. Maybe I want something, a brighter sound, or something more mellow. So some of it's my choice, and some of it's indicated. And
sometimes she likes to challenge us.
So what are you going to play this week?
Well, we have several numbers. Some of them are adaptations of hymn tunes, but some are just, you know, original compositions. One of my favorite ones is called The Stars Await, and it's a contemporary piece that really uses the various sounds of the bells really well, and has like twinkling chimes and sounds, has a very cosmic sound to it.
Wow.
Yeah.
What time is this concert?
The concert's at 7 on Sunday.
7 p.m. at Resurrection Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and there is a small fee at the door?
No, we're just taking donations.
Okay, so it's a donation deal, but the fundraising is to pay for the equipment and the people and everything that go out.
And in addition to the bell choir itself, we have some other acts that are part of the concert. Many people know Resurrection Lutheran Church as a rehearsal or a performance space.
Uh-huh.
And so we've invited some of those user groups to also participate. So we'll have Pat Henry and who else? Terry
and Fred
Hoskinson from Gold Streak will be performing. We've also got, who else is playing?
Rick Prostel is playing trumpet. We have a quartet from the Juno Lyric Opera. Let's see, a couple other soloists from the opera, maybe the Bach Society, I'm not sure. Anyway, so
it's
we're going to have
a whole night of music.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you so much. It's a great opportunity, and it sounds like wonderful sort of community involvement. Your friends and neighbors ringing bells at Resurrection Lutheran Church.
You'll enjoy it.
Okay.
And it's a great concert for kids to go to because there's so much to watch. That is very entertaining for them.
Outstanding. 7 p.m. tonight.
Sunday night.
I'm sorry, Sunday night. 7 p.m. Sunday night, Resurrection Lutheran Church. Subaleta, Lucy Merrill, thank you so much for coming in and ringing your chimes about this.
Thank you. We'll see you at church.
You bet.
Set on the banks of a lake in St. Mary's, Ohio, the K of D tells the story of skinny 12-year-old Charlotte McGraw who discovers a powerful gift.
Join Perseverance Theater Company member and national TCG Fox Fellowship Award winner, artist Christina Apathy.
That's me!
And an all-local creative team as she brings a small town to life. 17 characters all told in the summertime ghost story.
The show runs May 10th through May 19th on the Phoenix second stage of Perseverance Theater, evenings at 7:30 with Sunday matinees beginning at 4.
This message is brought to you by Chastity Piranha Creation Co. and Perseverance Theater.
Now, if you have been paying too attention throughout the day, you've probably heard several spots that have told you that this weekend is the final concert of the ongoing Jazz and Classics Fest. And the star of that show is Grace Kelly. She's playing tonight, but I'm not going to tell you where, because if you've been paying attention, then you get to win some tickets to the K of D. So if you know where Grace Kelly is performing tonight as part of Jazz and Classics, if you call Jeff at 586-1212, then tell him where Grace Kelly is performing tonight, and you can win two tickets to Saturday's performance of the K of D on the second stage at Perseverance Theater. Was that too complex to understand? I don't think so. I think people can get that. Hey, my next guest here is here to tell us about an event that is trembling on the possibility of total collapse. John Weber is here, and he's the organizer of a thing called the Rain Gear Roundup. John, tell us why you're rounding up rain gear.
It's an event that's happened in past years, and the JEDC was hoping to add it on to the Maritime Festival. And they were looking for someone to organize it, and a friend of mine who works for Saga also recommended myself to take the lead on it.
You weren't at the meeting, and so...
What's that?
I said you weren't at the meeting at the time, and so you discovered that you had been...
When I got recommended, pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Kind of just got shooed into it.
So why are we collecting this rain gear? What are we going to do with it?
After we collect it, we're going to exchange it for free this Sunday at the Maritime Festival. And the goal is... to collect as much used children's rain gear as possible and then exchange it for free Sunday at the Maritime Festival so that any kids around Juneau who don't have rain gear can get access to some.
Okay, folks. Now, there's a great opportunity here because as your children grow, there are probably these boots that are stuffed in the back of the closet and a rain jacket that doesn't fit anymore, and you've been thinking to yourself, I ought to take that stuff to the thrift store or something, huh? But you never get around to it. So here's your big chance. John, if they want to do this, how do they get the stuff to you so that it can be exchanged?
Tonight's our last night for donations, and we'll be at the IGA downtown from 5 to 8 accepting donations.
Just like right out in front there?
Yeah, we'll have a table set up. It says Rain Gear Roundup.
Okay, Rain Gear Roundup. So look around the house, folks.
Check
underneath the bed. Check the back closet. That deal that drops down out of the attic that you haven't looked up in there. Clear the bats out of the way. Go up through the top and take a look up there because there's probably a couple of kids' raincoats up there that have been around forever. So raincoats, rain boots, rain hats, children's rain clothing of any kind for any age. Take it over to the IGA tonight, did you say?
Tonight from 5 to 8.
Tonight from 5 to 8, John will be sitting there behind the table, and he will be glad to accept your donations. There's no charge involved in this whole process, right? This is just a...
No, we're just trying to find used rain gear that he said's hiding away in attics or garages and trying to get it to people that could use it.
Now, that's to collect it. So once it's collected, then how do people get the rain gear that you're collecting?
This Sunday, the Maritime Festival, we'll have a tent set up.
Okay.
And all the rain gear that we've collected, we'll have organized. And then if anyone's interested in it, they can pretty much just walk up.
So now, John, if somebody couldn't get to the IGA tonight and they found your tent out there at the Maritime Festival, you wouldn't turn them away, right? You'd take their exchange rain gear right there. Okay, real good. And once you've given it to John, he'll take care of it. You don't have to come back and get it or anything
like
that. It's gone, which means for many of us who have maybe a couple of kids, that could give you half a room back, you know, if you took all that stuff down to John and passed that stuff on. on. So I cannot imagine that there aren't a bunch of Junoites who are sitting on a pile of rain gear that they're wondering why they haven't gotten rid of yet.
And, yeah, I know it's out there.
And here's John Weber ready with a big smile to accept all that sort of stuff. John, I wish you great success with this program. I hope
Thank
that
you.
By this time, by about 7 o'clock tonight, that you are completely buried up to your ears in kids' extra tufts.
Let's hope so.
And are staggering under the load back to your car. Thanks for coming in and tell us.
Thanks again.
Tickets are on sale for Juno Jazz and Classics Grand Finale, Booker T, Centennial Hall on May 18th. Singer-songwriter, legendary organ player, and former frontman for the MGs, it's no wonder he's earned a Grammy for Lifetime Achievement. There's timelessness to his music, bluesy, gutsy, and soon, live in Juno. More info at jazzandclassics.org. Music, magic, don't miss it. This message brought to you by Juno Jazz and Classics.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 17th of May, 2013. It's the birthday of Gary Paulsen, born in Minneapolis, 1939, ran away from home when he was 14, joined the carnival, worked as a construction worker, engineer, sailor, he was a ranch hand, working nights as a satellite technician for an aerospace company in California, when he was struck by the inspiration to become a writer. He walked off the job, never went back. Most recent novels, Woods Runner, Lawn Boy Returns, and Liar, Liar. It's the birthday of the woman who was given credit for writing the first stream of consciousness novel in English, Dorothy Richardson, born Abingdon, just south of Oxford, 1873. The novel Pointed Roofs, published in 1915. She disliked the term stream of consciousness. She referred to it as an interior monologue. Pointed Roofs was the first in a 13-novel series called Pilgrimage, based on Richardson's life. Virginia Woolf credited Dorothy Richardson with inventing the psychological sentence of the feminine gender. It was on this date, 1954, the Supreme Court ruled that school segregation violated the 14th Amendment. An 8-year-old girl named Linda Brown in Topeka, Kansas, had to walk 21 blocks every day to an all-black elementary school, though she lived just 7 blocks from another elementary school for white children. Her father, Oliver Brown, asked that she be allowed to attend the white school. The principal refused, so he sued in court, and it came to the Supreme Court. The legal basis for segregation came from an 1896 Supreme Court decision, Plessy v. Ferguson, establishing that separate facilities for black and white students were constitutional as long as they were equal. When Brown v. Board of Education came before the Supreme Court in 1952, most of the justices were personally opposed to segregation, but only 4 of them openly supported overturning that precedent. And then in September 1953, Chief Justice Fred Vinson died of a heart attack. President Eisenhower nominated Earl Warren as the new Chief Justice, a man who devoted himself to the cause of civil rights. Warren's vote made the decision 5-4, but Justice Warren wanted a unanimous decision, so he rounded up the votes. The final holdout was Justice Stanley Reed from Kentucky, and when the decision was read, Justice Reed burst into tears. Here's a poem for today by Wendell Berry, May Song. For whatever is let go, there's a taker. The living discovers itself where no preparation was made for it, where its only privilege is to live if it can. The window flies from the dark of the subway mouth into the sunlight, stained with the green of the spring weeds that crowd the improbable black earth of the embankment, their stout leaves like the tongues and bodies of a herd, feeding on the new heat, drinking at the seepage of the stones. The freehold of life, triumphant even in the waste of those who possess it. But it is itself the possessor, we know, at last, seeing it send out weeds to take back whatever is left. Proprietor, pasturing foliage on the rubble, making use of the useless, a beauty we have less than not deserved. May Song, a poem by Wendell Berry from his new collected poems, published by Counterpoint Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, offering poetry podcasts to listen to and thousands of poems to read at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Mosaic Foundation of Rita and Peter Hayden, based in Ann Arbor, honoring the literary arts and the universe of great ideas. Produced by Joy Biles, be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
It's 26 minutes after 3 o'clock. You're in tune with KTOO News in Juneau, Alaska. My next guest is here from Hearthside Books to tell us about an upcoming event, which is an annual sort of wonderful thing that happens because of the existence of Hearthside in our community, and that is a whale-watching cruise with authors. This is the fourth annual of these. The folks go out on one of the big boats from Allen Marine, and there's a wine tasting involved in this, and there are how many authors?
Well, this year we have, this is Susan Hickey from Hearthside, and this year we have 9 authors joining us.
Wow. Who's bringing their books out to sign and schmooze with the group?
Okay. Well, first of all, every year it's difficult deciding how to invite authors to join us. What we do, it's been Southeast Alaskan authors who have a new or revised book dealing with the nature of Southeast is kind of our our parameters. But this year, Eowyn Ivy, who wrote the book Snow Child, is coming down from Homer. And Eowyn was a Pulitzer Prize finalist for fiction. She was a runner-up for the top prize. She has won the 2012 UK National Book Award. She's won the 2013 Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association Award. And she also was a 2013 Independent Bookstore Choice Award for debut fiction.
Wow.
And she'll be joining us. So,
yeah.
So this is the first time, I believe, that we've had an author outside of Juneau or Southeast.
So you have her book in stock, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we have it in paperback and hardback. There will be copies of the book on the boat, as well as if you want to read it ahead of time, which probably would be more fun for you.
I think so.
We have it in the stores. Also, we're partnering with the Downtown Library on this. She will be at the Downtown Library for a talk on Thursday, May 30th, from 7 to 8:30. She will be at our downtown Hearthside Books on the corner of Front and Franklin on Friday, May 31st, from 1 to 2 for a signing. And then she will be on the author cruise, which is Friday, May 31st, 5:30 to 9, Stater Harbor. Excuse me.
But that's not all.
That's not all.
No, you also get the Ginsu Knives and the other.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And then there's a lot of local authors on board. You probably know most of them. Bob Armstrong, excuse me, Cheryl Cook, Susie and Jim Fowler, Kathy Hawker, John Hyde, Nick Jans is pretty sure he can make it. He has another commitment that might interfere, and Mary Wilson.
Well, a chance to really meet a number of people, and of course the opportunity before the cruise, with plenty of time between now and May 31st to pick up a couple of these books and have a look at them. Kathy Hawker's, I think, is one of her illustrated books.
She has several books out. Her new book, she and Cheryl Cook have a new children's book coming. Unfortunately, it won't be ready for the cruise. It's coming out in July. It's called When You See Flukes.
Oh, wow.
Whale book
okay.
for kids.
Whale book for kids.
Yeah.
She's finishing a mural, I think, over at one of the grade schools.
She has
right
her fingers
now.
In lots of ties.
Yes, she certainly does. Great.
And then Mary Wilson and Bob Armstrong, in addition to previous books that they've done over the years, their new book, which is not yet published and won't be available in time for the cruise, but I believe it will come out this summer, is called Natural Connections in Alaska.
Hmm.
So I'm anxious. I have not seen anything on either book, but Knowing the authors, I know they're going to be great.
I'm hopeful they come in such a way that I can have them on the show. I love talking to these Southeast Alaska authors.
I'll mention that to them to call
It's a delight to meet some of these people and to get a chance to pre-read their books before I interview them, because I get a chance to see things that aren't in the market sometimes as a result of that. Well, Hearthside is a wonderful tradition here and does so many things for the community. You're in the throes of actually, ending your ownership of it?
Well, yeah. Debbie and I started in Merchants Wharf 38 years ago, and we had both been teachers, and our husbands wanted to open a restaurant. And we thought, no, we don't want to do that.
they thought you were going to be the cooks, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Didn't want to work with an apron on. It's just not my line of work.
Yeah.
So we quickly thought up something we'd really like to do. And we thought, well, a bookstore would be cool. And we thought we would do that for a couple of years and then go back to teaching. I taught at Harborview, and Debbie was teaching at Murray Drake.
Uh-huh.
Well, we got into it, and we just fell in love with the whole book world. And it's so rewarding. So anyway, it's time for us to think about retirement. So the bookstores are for sale. And if anyone would like a really rewarding, wonderful thing to do every day, where you learn something new every day, you meet new people every day, we think we have the best customers in retail. It's a delight to work with people.
Those of us who hang out in bookstores feel very comfortable with that. I'm wondering how your business has been affected by the shift to electronic media in the younger generations particularly.
We have seen a shift. I think the small size paperback books are the ones that we've seen the biggest change. There are many, many books in that size that we often call brain candy. You know, we read them. We don't care if we read them again. It's entertaining. We probably, you know, we may not keep a collection of them. So those are the ones that people seem to be reading on their e-readers. But we're finding hardback books and the large size trade paperback books are still very strong. People, it's a different experience than reading on a tablet. I know for myself, I've read some of my books on my iPad. I don't seem to retain it as well. I don't know if it's my age or what, but when I work at a computer all day at work, it seems to be a different kind of memory. It's short term, it's processing information. When I'm reading for pleasure, holding a book is quite a different experience for me. And I do like walking by my bookshelves and looking at my books. I think about them when I see them. When it's in my e-reader, it's sort of out of my head. I don't know. Maybe it's my age. I don't know.
No, it's a great observation, because I know. I guess it's the kinesthetics. Mm-hmm. I mean, I very much enjoy reading. And that is a very different action than reading something on a small screen,
on
an e-reader or something like that, even on a larger screen.
Yeah.
I don't have a full explanation, but there's something very satisfying about holding a book in your hand and reading it. And I agree with you totally. I have a wall full of books in one of my bedrooms, and it feels very good to have that wall full of books. Every once in a while I look at it and I think, you know, I don't know if I'm ever going to read that again. But I cannot force myself to take the books off the shelf and take them to the friends of the library and drop them off with them. Because,
well, it is. It's kind of like discarding friends or something. We all have books on our shelves that we've read, books that we mean to read someday, books we're going to read for sure, all kinds of different things. But they are, it's difficult to part with them. And part of it, I think, is experience of, I think, connecting with the author when you've read that book. It is, it's like you've met a new person, you know, if it's a book that really touched you.
I think the other thing about the bookstore, Hearthside in particular, is the way in which you've kind of taken a role in the community, because of things like this cruise and things like making tickets available to all of the performances and like that. It's like people understand that Hearthside is somehow like a component of the Juno arts community, just as the Jack is, just as Perseverance Theater is. You're kind of, we kind of expect whenever I have guests on here, I say to them, where can you get the tickets? And their first response is, well, Hearthside, and then maybe there's some other places. But everybody says, well, that's where you get the tickets.
Yeah.
And like that. So you've really insinuated yourselves into the Juno life.
Well, you know, it's something Debbie and I have just enjoyed doing over the years. And Debbie Riefenstein is my business partner.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And, you know, in thinking of hopefully finding a new caretaker or two.
That's a much better mother name than owner.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
We'd like someone to carry it on.
Yeah.
Because neither Debbie or I are planning to leave Juno, and I don't want to live here without a new bookstore.
Yeah. So if somebody buys it, going to help out a little bit?
Pardon me?
If somebody buys it, you're going to help them out a little bit if they want to?
That is certainly an option.
Oh, okay.
I mean, people say, well, what would you do with yourself without, you know, because Deb and I both work full-time at the stores. I'm looking forward to having more time to read, first of all.
Yeah.
I mean, I
those books on the wall.
Oh, these incredible books. Going through and ordering them and seeing them come in and seeing them out in the store. And I'm just dying to read it. But then all of a sudden there's a whole new wave of books and there's always more to read, you know. But, yeah, I really would like more time to read. And, you know, I have a list of other things, too.
Well, Susan, I hardly need to say that you can get tickets for the 4th Annual Authors at Sea thing at the Hearthside Bookstore.
Yes, this is correct. In fact, it's the only place you can buy tickets.
That's right. And this is a whale-watching cruise and wine tasting, a wonderful opportunity on Friday, May 31st. It leaves the port at 6 and comes back at 9.
Yep.
A chance to sip a glass of wine as you go out to the whaling grounds and look at our wonderful population of local whales. Well, not local. They're sort of they're summer tourists. They come up with the tour groups and they leave just about with the tour groups, I think, and go back down to Hawaii where they spend the colder winter, our colder winter down there. Susan Hickey and by extension, Debbie, thank you so much for coming on the show, alerting everyone to the fact that they need to swing by Hearthside and pick up tickets to the whale watch.
Great. Thank you. And your show is such a service to the community. It's what's happening in Juno.
Thank you very much.
Box me in, don't tell me who I am. Let me tread the waters, let me scope the land. 'Cause I'm young, I'm free, I've got dreams to fill. If I don't act now, then I know I never will. Don't box me in. Don't tell me who I am. Please don't box me in. Let my heart be free. Let me find my voice. I need find who's me. 'Cause I'm young, I'm free, I've got dreams to fill. If I don't act now, then I know I never will. Please don't box me in. Don't tell me who.
Well, the music, of course, is Grace Kelly. She's performing tonight at, and this was the answer to our quiz question earlier, at The Jack. And tickets are on sale. I think it's probably real close to a sellout, so if you're thinking of going to the concert, you should go right away. Incidentally, the two tickets for KFD were claimed, and so don't make any more phone calls in response to that. So guess who's here? A friend of mine that I used to work with up on campus, Amanda Triplett, is here to tell us about all of the wonderful things that are going to happen at UAS for Community Day this weekend. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So what's up?
Well, tomorrow on Saturday is Community Day at UAS from 11 a.m. to 4, and there's going to be all different kinds of fun and free activities for kids and families to participate in.
So this is the traditional wrap-up of the Jazz and Classics Festival every year.
Correct. It
happens out at the campus. Some of the stars that have been performing all week long are out there doing performances, and the whole community is invited out, and there's lots of displays and everything like that.
Yeah. So I'm looking at the music list right now, and local music groups from all ages are going to be participating. So we're going to have some young folks, we're going to have some older folks, some of everyone. And the music starts playing at 11 a.m. and goes all the way up until close. So no matter what time you come, you're always going to be able to hear something great.
Well, you're lucked out. It looks like Saturday the rain is going to kind of dribble away. And Saturday night there will be mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. So probably in the valley that means earlier in the day a little bit. The afternoon it will just taper down to scattered rain showers. And then Sunday they're saying mostly cloudy with scattered rain showers. So a pocket of rain here and there. And who in Juneau doesn't have a raincoat they can wear out to the campus?
Well, you know, I'm going to throw this out there. We have a dunk tank this year.
I heard about that.
So, forget your raincoat and bring a towel and come on out and get dunked.
So you're looking for volunteers for
We are looking for volunteers who are 18 years and older. So kids, talk your parents into getting dunked and you can throw them in there.
Are nominations accepted?
Nomination? Sure, why not?
Where's John Pugh this weekend?
You know, I have his extension. I could give him a jingle.
Well, here, I'm starting a petition.
Yeah, so he got dunked last time at our spring carnival that we had at the end of the semester, and he got dunked. He totally did it.
Outstanding. Yeah. Okay, so this is sort of the second half of the polar plunge kind of deal.
Yeah. So the dunk tank is one thing that we're going to have. There's going to be lots of other different folks that have food trucks out there. There's going to be cotton candy. Dive Pack always has a really cool touch tank. I think there's bouncy houses, face painting. Girl Scouts are coming, and they're going to be doing picture frame creating. And they're also going to do a mosquito market this year in the parking lot at UAS.
As opposed to a flea market, this is the mosquito market.
Exactly.
The Southeast Alaska version of that little thing. Yeah.
I didn't get that until just now.
Yeah, there it is.
So, and if you're not sure what a mosquito market is, you can bring all the stuff that you have in your car that you've been meaning to donate for a while that you always forget to drop off at St. Vinny's or the consignment shops. Come on down to the parking lot, open up your car, and you can sell your stuff from right there.
Now, with the single exception of rain gear, I have to put in a plug here for John because he's in trouble. John Weber is running this rain gear roundup. He'll be available tonight at the IGA from 5 to 7. Mm. And the concept is if you have rain gear for children, bring it to John. And then during the Maritime Festival this weekend, he will be setting up an exchange tent.
Oh,
so
very cool.
If you're going to support the mosquito market out at UAS, take the rain gear to John before you make the trip out to UAS because he really needs about 8,000 pairs of children's extra tufts for giving away to kids who don't have them. We don't have that many kids in town who don't have extra tufts, but the idea here is to gather a whole bunch of rain gear and get it for John to give away at the Maritime Festival.
Yeah. And
but everything else, of course, you can take out to UAS and have it on the table at the mosquito market.
Yeah, definitely.
And then you are basically those things are for sale and the UAS benefits from the prices, is that correct?
Not necessarily.
I see.
So, I think
sell your own stuff and keep the money?
Yeah, sell your own stuff and keep the money.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, sell your own stuff and keep the money. So in different food vendor folks, they're selling for profit.
Yeah, the university is so so open-hearted to bring all these things to us and kind of open up the doors each year for this little event.
Yeah, it's a really cool event. And this year, there's a new facility that's been built really close to campus. It's the Forest Service Northwest Research Station, and they're going to be doing a ribbon-cutting ceremony that afternoon at 3 o'clock, followed by some dancing by our Wuchin group. There's going to be tours of that new facility from noon to 3, so you can come on down, grab some food, go in the dunk tank, go on a tour, listen to some music, eat some more food, and then head home.
Hey, I had friends on last week, and there's is the registration day over, or is it coming up still?
summer semester starts May 20th, which is Monday.
Monday. So if you want to register for summer classes, you need to think about doing that. Anything going to be open Saturday where a person could do that if they come to this thing?
The main office buildings are going to be closed on Saturday, so unfortunately, we're open until 5 o'clock tonight if you want to go down to campus.
But you can also register on the first day of class. It just means, you know, you have to get out there and scramble in order to be able to make the class.
Right.
It's Monday night class.
Yeah, and a lot of our summer classes don't start right on May 20th. They have late starts, so some of them don't even start until a few weeks into the
week. And when Katie Bosler was on the show the other day, she had a really nice catalog of summer classes that is floating around town. It's in kind of all kinds of places. So you might take a look at that catalog and see if that's something that just kind of tweaks you, you know?
Yeah.
See if there's something there.
There's always some really cool classes, whether it's an art class or a history class. Communications, lots of really cool stuff out there.
Yeah, there's a really vast offering. Okay, UAS Participation Community Day on campus Saturday. Amanda Triplett, thank you so much for coming and telling. Oh, what time does things start up again?
Starts at 11 a.m. and goes until 4 p.m. on the UAS campus.
Okay, good enough. Thank you so much for telling us about this.
Thank you.
Tonight on 360 North at 8, the Juneau World Affairs Council presents Arctic Issues with Senator Mark Begich. That's followed at 9 by a sailboat journey through the famous Northwest Passage on an Arctic journey in a changing world. The New Environmentalists is at 9:30, followed at 10 by Great Decisions in Foreign Policy, Platts Energy Week, This Week in Defense News, and BioCentury This Week at 11:30. It's a great way to look at public affairs tonight on 360 North.
We're not going to Grandpa's farm this weekend, but all week long as I've been driving past Swampy Acres, I've been seeing signs saying the Family Farm Day is coming up. And Rhonda Gardner from the Juneau Co-op Preschool is here with two of her students, Nika and Reed, and they're going to tell us about all that event that's going to happen with the white chicken and the brown cow. So what's happening, Rhonda?
Well, we are having our annual Family Farm Day out at Swampy Acres, where... it's an alumni family from Co-op Preschool, and they let us come and take over the farm and open it up to all the animals. And what kind of things, Nika knows what kind of things we're going to see. What kind of animals are going to be there? You want to tell them what kind of babies are going to be? What kind of babies?
Bush tot.
Okay, there's baby...
chicklets.
Baby chicklets, and baby these guys. Who's those?
Piglets.
Baby piglets,
uh-huh.
And these kind too. Baby rabbits. And there's going to be a miniature miniature horses that they can pet and groom, and there's going to be an obstacle course for the kids to run through. And a chicken yard.
Yeah.
Chicken yard with chickens running around.
Wow.
And 4-H I think will be there for a short while with some horse rides, but they sort of do their own separate thing. So the whole farm, going in and visiting the farm, is for the benefit to the preschool, a fundraiser for us, and the horse rides are a benefit for the 4-H club.
Okay, and Reed has some stuff to tell us about this.
It is May 18th, 11 to 4 p.m. It is $5 per person.
Mm-hmm. And all the benefits go to?
To Juneau Co-op Preschool.
Right.
Okay.
So bring your family and enjoy a day at the farm.
All right. How many students are there in the co-op preschool?
We currently have two classes with about 25 kids in each. Well, we have 20 regular and then some substitute students that come, and their ages 3 to 5. And Nika is currently a student. She's just finishing up. We have two more days left on Monday and Tuesday, and Rita's an alumni from many moons ago.
Yeah. I didn't think he was between 3 and 5.
Yeah, not anymore.
No. High school student, are you?
Middle school.
Middle school. What grade?
6, going into 7.
And where are you going to school?
Charter school.
At the charter school? Okay, cool. So are you going to be out for the farm day? Are you part of that support staff?
I think I might be there for part of it.
I sure hope you are.
He's going to be playing some music for University Day, which you just talked about.
Ah, okay. Oh, you are. What do you play?
Clarinet.
All right. So you're one of the many music...
And Paul plays the clarinet.
And Paul plays.
All right, good. Okay. So how did this thing get started? Why do we have a farm day?
Well, you know, for many of us who live in town, we've been driving past the farm forever and ever and kind of seeing the horses out there in the pasture. But we had two of the grandchildren of the woman who owns the farm come through the co-op preschool.
Mm-hmm.
And their mother said, "Hey, I know, how about we... good excuse to clean up the farm and then have everybody come visit," because we loved, and they've let preschool groups come and visit before just for a class visit. But we thought it would be very fun to let the whole community open it up to go, and Wendy had the idea that maybe it could be a fundraiser.
So,
and it's great. It's actually a really fun farm, lots of stuff going on, and the baby animals are, I see the adults oohing and aahing over the baby animals as much as the children, which is very fun. So.
Well, I think that's a perfectly normal response to a baby animal of almost any kind, except perhaps maybe a baby black bear, in which case we should stand well back. But these are tame farm animals.
Very much.
Do you know anything about how big the farm operation actually is?
Boy, I don't know. I know that they have a store that I also learned of from our first farm day, where you can go and buy fresh eggs from the chickens, and they have pet supplies out there and animal feed. But I don't know, I don't know the size or how long they've been doing. And long time. I mean,
They also have horseback riding lessons.
Well, I think that they the 4-H, when it is being organized, they do board horses there and use the barn. I don't know if the farm itself, if Swampy Acres, runs horseback riding lessons.
Have horse lessons?
I don't know. You have to talk to your parents about that.
Yeah. The other thing I've heard about, and I don't know if it's absolutely true, is that if a student wants to raise an animal for a 4-H project, that Swampy Acres has allowed people to board animals out there.
Yeah, I should have had Wendy come along with me so she could answer all the questions. She's probably busy cleaning up, but that would be a fun...
Maybe I'll talk to Jeff and see if we can organize getting someone from Swampy Acres to come on and tell us a little bit about the
farm.
And
I know they've had different coordinators for different aspects of 4-H over the years. Some has been with the horseback riding, some has been with the animal husbandry, and they're different people. It's not always necessarily people from the farm.
Okay, real good. Could you read that information again on when and where and how much cost and all that sort of
thing? It is May 18th, 11 to 4 p.m., $5 per person at Swampy Acres.
Outstanding. Okay, well, thank you very much, Rhonda. Thank you, Nika. Thank you, Reed, for coming down.
It's a fundraiser for the Juno Cup.
It sure is. Wonderful. Thank you.
Thanks so much. Hey.
You are my morning and my nighttime star. You are the voice inside my head when I can't figure out what's going on. You help me get by simply being you. You are my sunshine and my guiding light. You are the voice that brings me closer to my dream. You're always there to guide. You help me get by simply being you. Warm spring day, you make the colors come to life. You help me get by simply being you. You
ride to touch the ground, and no one can bring me down. You are my world, you are my smile, you're my baby. You bring me to that higher place. We love, we laugh, we make mistakes, but even through the bad, you are there to love me, there to guide me.
Music, of course, is Grace Kelly. She's performing in a great concert tonight at the Jack. That's one of the last concerts in this week's wonderful Juno Jazz and Classics wrap-up. Friday, May 17th, tonight at the Jack at 8 p.m. And then Saturday, May 18th, a lot of the musicians will be coming out for Community Day on the campus out at the University of Alaska campus. And underneath us, music from the other finale act, which will be at 8 o'clock tomorrow night at Centennial Hall. Grace Kelly's concert tonight is at the Jack. And this one is Booker T, and Booker T will be at the Centennial Hall for the festival finale tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So we'll go out with him underneath here. This is KTOO Juno. We broadcast at 104.3 FM in Juno and Douglas. We also broadcast on a set of translators in the Valley and Auk Bay. We're on K276 AF, that is 103.1. In Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, we're at 101.7 on K269 AO. Gustavus listens to us on K201 AM at 88.1. K220BT serves Hoonet, 91.9. In Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait, we're heard on K210 AS at 89.9. We're also on GCI Cable Juno on digital channel 871 and KRNN, our sister station, on 872 and KXLL on 873. And we stream all day on www.ktoo.org. Monday at 3, Joan Pardis will be joining you for Juneau Afternoon. She'll have City Manager Kim Kiefer on to give us an update on CBJ activities. Cliff Cole and Marie Darlin from the Juneau Commission on Aging will come in to highlight Older Americans Month. There'll be an update on the King Island Christmas Kickstarter campaign, and Sarah Buhlman will be here with details about Saga's upcoming yoga kayaking trip. So listen to Juneau Afternoon with Joan Pardis on Monday. Pat Moore, been your host today. Really enjoyed bringing you all these fine guests. Stay tuned now for All Things Considered.